Welcome to worship. But just before we start, some good news from our Macmillan coffee morning, no, tea and cakes, whatever we did on Wednesday. We raised £303.18 so far. So a big thank you from everybody and for all those who contributed, took part, ate cakes. It's a lovely amount to be able to say that we've raised. So well done, everybody. And so we're going to continue through James today. And it's funny, as I was coming in, I was talking to people about their eyes and their ears. And today we're going to talk about the mouth. Could be a while. Boca. Is that Spanish? All right, thank you. And of course, only praise comes forth from our mouths, doesn't it? So some words from Psalm 145. Great is our God and worthy of praise. God's goodness knows no limit. God's faithfulness towards us is boundless. God, your majesty and glory surround us here. We come together to celebrate your presence and to offer songs of praise and worship. We come to rejoice in your mighty acts and to retell the story of your goodness throughout history and in our lives. Move among us as we worship together. May your spirit guide and inspire our thoughts and actions as we spend this time in your presence. In the name of our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 467, Morning Has Broken. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we love to sing your praises. We love to remember that your praises have been sung by people of every age and every place. Your name has been glorified down the centuries and all across the world. And today we join with the hosts of heaven and our fellow Christians across the world to lift up your name and worship you. We bring our songs of worship and our hymns of praise. We worship you with our words and with our prayers. We celebrate your glory and we give honour to your name. Sovereign Lord of all that was, is and will be, there is no God like you and there is no God besides you. You alone are the Lord of all creation. Father, we praise you not only as our Creator, but also as the one who every moment of every day sustains our lives and the life of the whole universe. We praise you that though you are the High and Holy One, you promise to live in our hearts and our lives. Though you are the King of all creation, you walk with us on the journey of life. Though your glory reaches to the end of time and to when time will be no more, yet you receive our praises and accept our devotion. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, through whom we have become your children. It is Christ who taught us to call you our Father and to trust in your fatherly goodness. We praise you for his life, death, and resurrection, and that through him the way has been opened to the heaven of your love. We praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who empowers us for worship and enables us to commit our lives to your service and to journey with you to the end. Father, we thank you that we can trust you in every situation, and not simply when life is good and we are facing no major problems. We thank you for the assurance that there is no darkness that your love cannot penetrate, and there is no burden that you cannot carry. There is no pain that you will not bear, and there is no joy that your presence cannot make all the richer. We thank you that Christ walked where we walk, faced what we face. We thank you for his life lived in faith in you, faith that included obedience to your will. We thank you that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we seek your forgiveness for those things that we have said and done and thought that hurt you, each other, and ourselves. We also ask your forgiveness for those things that we have failed to say, forgotten to do, and should have thought about but didn't. Forgive us every act of kindness that was not done, every word of understanding that was not spoken, and every offer of forgiveness that we didn't make. Forgive us for every time we have failed to show patience to those who were confused or lost. Help us to love those who are hurting, and show your compassions to those at the point of breaking. Cleanse us, renew us, and empower us to live Christ-like lives. Father, when we see a lost and troubled world, and when we're aware of the sadness and the sorrow and the pain all around us, we pray, send your word of hope, love, and joy to bring an end to all that fear and suffering. Father, we pray for your church. There are times when we lose our way and are in danger of losing our hold on you. Give your church faith to believe, hope to reach out, and love to make real. Rekindle our faith in the promise given to us in your word that all tears will be wiped away, as death and sadness and crying and pain will cease. Father, we pray for Christians everywhere, especially our sisters and brothers in the persecuted church. But we ask for courage for all to stand firm on the promises and teaching of your word. Father, we live in a world that is increasingly turning its back on its creator. So keep all your people faithful to you and your word. Give us the courage, the power, and the conviction not only to live by your word, but to make it known everywhere and to everyone. Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, fill us with your power and be present with us forever and ever. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we continue with our words of praise as we sing number 274. And please pay particular attention to the chorus.
Yeah.
My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, and what the Father gives to me, I'll sing. A bit of a clue of what we're going to talk about today. As we move on to James chapter 3, he discusses talking. He launches into a new passage about controlling our words. It continues James's big idea that faith and works go together. Specifically, that what one does or says proves what they really believe. Those who trust God, who really believe him, begin to be changed in their speech as well. And I think when we were talking last week, if you remember, we kind of said that's probably one of the hardest things that we find to do is to control what comes out of our mouths. As James notes in this chapter, it doesn't mean perfection, but it does mean that our deeds and works should reflect our faith in God. And so I'll ask Pauline if she'll come and continue our reading.
I'm reading from James chapter 3, and it's headed Taming the Tongue, and it's on page 1215 in the Bibles in the Pew. Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of God.
Human words are powerful, our tongues are small, but they are capable of wreaking havoc. Any person who could perfectly control their words would be in perfect control of their entire bodies. Instead, as sinful human beings, our tongues are untamable. Our words are fire, igniting the entire course of our lives. Blessing and cursing people should not come out of the same mouth. It tells us that we are corrupted. So my question when I was reading this was, why should we bother? And we'll find out about that after we've sung number 459. Master, speak, thy servant heareth.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've sung those words, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Is that why you created us, Lord, with two ears and one mouth? Lord, as we come now to hear what you have to say to us, open up our hearts, Lord, again afresh, that we would listen and hear and do. Amen. Amen. So our identity speaks. I had lots of time in the car yesterday to think about the tongue. Thank you for all those who prayed for the Wesleyan Reform Union trustees as we met together for prayer yesterday. Have you ever noticed that when you go to the dentist and they say, open your mouth wide, your tongue that has been sitting comfortably and obediently in the bottom of your mouth suddenly decides now is the time to wake up and do some kind of weird dance, being anywhere and everywhere that the dentist wants to be? Yeah? Why is it? Why is it? Open your mouth, the tongue goes, da-da! I'm awake. As I was thinking about the tongue and the mouth, I was drawn to the Rolling Stones logo for those rock chicks amongst you. Do you remember the mouth with the tongue? Yeah? Yeah? Getting nearer your mark now, aren't I? 1970. It was designed not only because of Mick Jagger's constant, it seemed, to keep poking his tongue out, but also that they made as a group a stand against authority. So I entitled my preach this morning, Watch Your Mouth. Because as I was growing up, I was reminded, usually of my parents saying to me, either myself or my sister, say that again and I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Yeah? Any sort of variations on that? Soap and water. Oh, you got water as well. Ours was just pure soap.
Something more physical to
follow. Yes. Yeah, keep saying that. And now, I don't know what that necessarily was. Sometimes it could have been answering back. Perhaps an insult between my sister or myself, or even worse, who knows? But I do always just remember that. Yeah, I'll wash your mouth. I don't think, and I don't remember, unless it's one of those memories that is like gone, that it ever actually happened. But the threat was enough to potentially stop whatever was going on. And again, this passage this morning talks about taming the tongue and the idea that what people say and do shows what they believe. And so I do praise God that he doesn't use soap to teach us that lesson. As I listen to the news and people in leadership and people around me, doesn't the world today seem to be more toxic and rude and disconnected than ever? Differences of opinion and position are not just issues anymore of perspective, but slandered through language of morality and identity. The assumption from many is that the escalation and lack of civil discussion is because we express our opinions and respond to the opinions of others nowadays without speaking face to face. The joy of social media. However, James suggests that this tendency to use our words to humiliate, to aggravate, to provoke and destroy is not unique to the age of social media. Didn't have it when James wrote his letter, did they? Sorry, I was reminded of a conversation we had yesterday of what if Jesus did YouTube? And brain back in the room. But it's endemic to our sinful and fallen nature as humans. We can use obedience classes, rewards, and reinforcement to domesticate wild animals. But we will never succeed, we read in verse 8, in taming the tongue. The book of James is a very practical book, as I said, providing instructions for how faith should work in the lives of believers scattered around the world because of persecution. And obviously it speaks into our world today. James is interested in instructing these Christians how to live out their faith, but putting it to work through action. Last week when we looked at chapter 2, it provides the essential foundation for our faith, in that action is necessary as the outworking and expression of faith at work in us and through us, demonstrating the life of the Spirit within us. Belief about God and knowledge of God is insufficient. We must put our beliefs into action. If you remember last week, we thought about Hebrews 11 that demonstrates that necessary connection between faith and action. If you remember, in faith, Old Testament characters did things. Abraham left his area. Noah built an ark. I mean, you wouldn't have done that without faith, would you, to be honest? Moses led his people out of Egypt, etc. It's insufficient to hold brain knowledge of who God is or what he expects of us. As we looked into chapter 2, verse 19, it tells us that even the demons understand theology, as in staff of God. We must apply this knowledge and dependence on God through our hearts and the way that we live. As I read the letter of James, I get the feeling that he's the kind of person who has strong opinions. And as we've read through these first three chapters, he says it as it is. There's no mucking about, is there, with James? I quite like that. His letter doesn't hold back. James isn't working to phrase his words tactfully so that they don't offend. He just says them outright. And I'm pretty sure that's why God chose him to write the letter to the people, so that they couldn't miss the point. As you know, I prefer straight talking. I'm still learning the pink and fluffy. But sometimes you lose, don't you, the direction of the conversation if someone doesn't get straight to the point. It's like, I'm going to try and tell you something really awful in Christian love, and then they waffle around it. And actually, sometimes you just want them to come straight to the point. But because James is straight talking, he also sometimes struggles with controlling his words. And earlier in the letter, we read that he cautioned his readers that we speak and we share and we do all thoughts with gentleness. James transitions from his foundational principle to the critical connection between our belief and our action, our tongue. When Jesus stated that out of the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaks, he was explaining how our true selves, the combined expression of our mind and emotions and our will, is expressed through what we say. Our tongues demonstrate the true environment of our hearts. If God has declared, as we read, that no one can tame the tongue, how can we even begin to do so? That's why I said at the end of the reading, why bother then? God says we can't do it, why bother? But James describes the tongue as a bit in a horse's mouth, able to turn the whole horse. A rudder on a ship, directing as the pilot wills. It is small and boastful. And in verse 5, it continues, or like a spark that sets forest fires. The tongue is small, but powerful. If you've done your biology, the tongue is a muscle. And it's unique in the way it's beautifully sensitive. It senses and adjusts to tiny changes in texture and taste. But it also shifts to direct our breathing, otherwise we wouldn't be alive. It coordinates with our teeth and lips to express language, and adjusting to stay away from our teeth when we eat, most of the time. How many times do we bite our tongue because we're too busy troughing? I was thinking about what the tongue does. I was thinking, obviously, the dentist thing is a bit of an anomaly. I'm not sure that what we're supposed to do with that. Our capacity to make those minute shapes with our tongue and lips to form complex words is why we can speak to one another and in coherent language most of the time, and animals can't. God provided this amazing instrument for expression, but because we cannot tame it, the tongue, we read, becomes a restless evil full of deadly poison. Whew. Why? Why is it so difficult to confine our words, keeping back our responses and our reactions and remarks? As we know, a bridle is necessary when the nature or character of the animal cannot be controlled. A wild horse must be restrained because its character or nature is designed to break free and to run. Our tongues, as expressions of our fallen and sinful nature, will run free and unrestrained as examples of our nature and character, whether we like it or not, because we can't control them. But James suggests that the goal is not just to tame our tongues, but to change our nature. Because we can't tame the tongue. The tongue will forever demonstrate the state of our heart. The context of the whole of James's letter is that we can let faith work in and through us to purify and perfect us, being whole and consistent in our faithfulness to our Lord. So if we think about that, it's our heart that needs to change. Our own natural desires, affections, thoughts, and actions are always set towards sin, as we read in Romans. But by the grace of God, conviction and the faith in the Holy Spirit, salvation through Jesus, our natural state of our heart is being transformed. God's purpose is that his word will fill us, overflowing from us as we display God's love in our world. So how do we focus our loyalty on the Lord and become doers of the word and not hearers only? And if you look at verses 11 to 12, those with your Bible still open, James asks two questions. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What is in your heart will be the reservoir from which the flow of your mouth draws. Jesus warned, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. James's solution is to perfect our loyalties, filling our hearts with pure water so that the output from our mouth is pure. We read later on in James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Hearing the truth of the word of God but not doing anything in response deceives us into thinking that we believe what we believe. But James says that without action, our religion is worthless. Paul explained to the church at Thessalonica that through the act of God enabling them to love one another, he's establishing their hearts as blameless and holy before God. Jude, the book of Jude, commands us to keep ourselves in the love of God by building on the truth of God, praying through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and waiting on the coming mercy of God. If we know the right thing to do and we fail to do it, for us it is sin. We cannot be and do good on our own or even desire to be good without the intervention of God's Holy Spirit. We must allow God to work in us and through our weakness to conform us to the image of Christ. We live. can't sabotage the mic to stop me talking. So as I was saying, if we know the right thing and we fail to do it, for us it's a sin. And we can't do it on our own. We must allow God to work through us, through our weakness, to conform us in the image of Christ. We live according to the Spirit that is within us, putting to death the deeds of the flesh and learning to live in the reliance of God's Holy Spirit, which is life. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need the community of believers around us. As I always say, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they lived in community as the Trinity. The Christian life is to be lived in community as members of one body, functioning in dependence on one another. We need other people to help us both in our pride and in our weakness, supporting us and challenging us to wash our hands and purify our hearts, as James says later on in chapter 4, because we tend to independence and sin. We need the word of God to show us who we really are. But God often does this work through other people as well. We can easily deceive ourselves or justify our problems by projecting blame onto others. That seems to be the way of the world now, doesn't it? It wasn't me. I couldn't help it because they. And so we do need friends around us who are willing to be honest with us. We read in Proverbs, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Words can hurt, and it's often friendship and community are the most damaged when the fire of the tongue reigns unrestrained. But it is also through the work of forgiveness and restoration in relationship that the motivation for resisting our selfish ambitions rest. So we need to work together. The tongue is like a small fire that can set a forest ablaze. This can be destructive, but it can also be constructive. If you remember, we read in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down onto the disciples. They were speaking in other tongues. We read that they were divided tongues as of fire resting on each of them. The disciples took that small flame and ignited the crowd through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that about 3,000 people were saved that day. James tells us to be one-minded in our pursuit of perfection, controlling our whole body by bridling our tongues and letting the fresh springs of blessing pour forth to demonstrate God's love and the peace that he provides. The wisdom and purity of character that demonstrates our ability to be doers of the world and not hearers only are available to us as a gracious gift from God, and we simply need to ask in faith. And so we need to maintain that community of believers around us so that we have the support, the input of our belief for an output of action, smothering those wayward fires or ships through compassion, correction, and forgiveness. Christian life is a communal race that requires cooperative relationships to maintain our progress, our focus, our pace and motivation, assisting us through the Spirit in us and one another to run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And when we ask God in faith, we can sing, "My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer. What the Father gives to me, I'll sing. I only want to be his breath. I only want to glorify the King." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we heard those words, how careless we are at times. And so we pray in faith, keep watch over our mouths. We wish only to say those things which will bless and build up. May we speak words of life to one another, to our community. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll sing number 33, And Can It Be?
I'm
Excuse me a minute. Let's pray. Keep your mind fixed on Christ, your heart in his glory, your eyes on his purpose, your ears on his voice, and may our mouths praise our Lord forever. Be filled with the Spirit as people of God. Amen.